was sharing a bit earlier before the service with a few of us as we were gathering. Three of the four Gospels specifically describe the Last Supper. That is Matthew and Mark and Luke. The Gospel of John has a much longer discourse. It doesn't specifically describe the institution that we're familiar with, that we also hear from the Apostle Paul. But in John, Jesus does an act which truly goes along with this. And that is something which is reflected in an act that he did, the disciples did not understand until after the resurrection. And so listen to these words from the Gospel of John, this event that happened at the Last Supper. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour to come had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel about himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you are going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are the messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say to you now, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May God bless to us these, the words of Jesus in the gospel. Maundy Thursday. What a weird name for a religious holiday. Most people in churches don't know what that name means. It's just something they've heard over and over again. And that's because we don't speak archaic Latin. You see, Maundy is an old English rendering of a Latin word, mandate, means mandate, commandment. In Jesus' own words, a new commandment I have given to you, to love one another, even as I have loved you. That's where the name Maundy Thursday comes from, the mandate to love one another. You see, we are, as disciples of Christ, to live a Jesus kind of love. When we come to the service tonight, we think of the Last Supper in the upper room, and we think of the symbolism of the body broken and of the blood that is shed, the symbols which in these 2 days of Thursday and Friday of Holy Week have a heightened meaning for us. And yet the gospel calls us to another symbol, and that is washing with water that Jesus performed for his disciples, each and every one. And while Jesus obviously wanted the disciples to look back upon and reflect upon the symbols of bread and wine, he also wanted them to do so remembering the act of washing their feet, of this humblest, and some might even say demeaning, act of servitude. Just to get a feel for this, I remember when I was in college in South Carolina, back in our hippie days, on stifling, still hot days, we wore what we called Jesus boots. Did you ever have any of those? They're leather thong sandals. They had the big leather loop around your big toe. Yeah, I see some nods here. Well, open air shoes for hot, dusty days. We just wanted to keep cool. And our sidewalks were not all that dirty, and we washed our own feet. But in the days of Jesus, foot washing was typically done by the servants or even the slaves of a household. It was not a glamorous job, because people's feet in those days, in that climate, got really dirty and dry and calloused and cracked as they walked for miles every day simply wearing sandals. To wash someone's feet was an act of hospitality and care. It was also an act of servitude and of tremendous humility. And so no wonder that Simon Peter rebuked Jesus. He said, "You'll never wash my feet." Not Jesus, not his master, not ever. Still, there was Jesus with his basin and his towel. And he knelt in front of them one by one, and he washed their feet, calluses and dirt and all. I don't think we get it. The disciples certainly didn't get it until they had to be apostles of the gospel at the risk of their own lives to get down on their knees. The Lord of all was kneeling at their feet to wash their feet. In some churches, foot washing is a regular part of the Maundy Thursday service. Not here. Yet. One pastor writes about the first time that foot washing was introduced at her church. He said, "I belong to a church where they decided to hold a foot washing 1 year as part of Maundy Thursday service. It was the first one they'd ever tried, and to my knowledge, the last." The pastor had the secretary call down the list of the session members, trying to get 12 people to agree to sit in a row up front that night and have the pastor to wash their feet. And she got turned down 6 times. She got discouraged and ended up settling for half a dozen pair of feet instead of the 12 disciples. That evening, as the sun set and the moon rose gleaming through the stained glass scene of Jesus in the garden behind the altar, there they sat up front in a line of folding chairs facing the rest of us, with their shoes neatly lined up next to their chairs like little soldiers. There was Joyce up there at the end seat. She had had a pedicure just for the occasion. I could see her bright coral nail polish blinking from my seat. I could see Ralph's gold-toe socks neatly folded on top of his newly polished wingtips. I could smell a hint of Febreze that Denise must have sprayed in her shoes just before she left home. We in the congregation got to watch while the pastor washed the 6 best-smelling pairs of feet in the entire town. In my fond memories of that evening, I think of it as demo foot washing. Don't worry, we are not going to have a surprise foot washing tonight. However, you do need to come to this table for communion for a spiritual foot washing. A deeply uncomfortable sensation that the master you have followed, served, clung to his every word for 3 years, Jesus, this Messiah, a hero that's just welcomed by throngs of people with cheers and palms, the one you expect to set up a new kingdom with you at the head of the 12 tribes, this Jesus has just washed your dirty, smelly feet on his knees. And he did it with a deep love for all of the gifts and all of the flaws that make you who you are. You have just received a Jesus kind of love. And if you eat this meal, the symbol of what Jesus is and what you promise to become, then you become servant to all. This is his commandment. This is his mandate. This is his essence that is given for you. For you see, it's not just your feet that Jesus washes this night. And like Peter, we're mistaken if we think the whole body needs to get watered down. No, it's much more. It is your deepest yearnings for peace of heart and spiritual connectedness that are washed clean. It is the commitments you have made and not kept, or the commitments you need to make and have not had the courage or strength to make, that are washed clean. It is the doubts that have plagued you, not about God, but about yourself as a child of God. They're washed clean. It is the anxieties that hold you back from kneeling at the feet of someone more humble, more lowly, perhaps more beaten down by life. And washing their feet is an act of love. Those anxieties washed clean. It is the loneliness that makes you and so many in today's world feel separated and forgotten. That loneliness is washed clean. It is a new start and perhaps a new beginning that lasts, washed clean. So come then to this table feeling that you are washed clean by Jesus Christ. Washed clean. Clean.